part of the reason why I'm recording this, one is just because I'm actually practicing what I preach. And one of my main points of this episode is going to be like, you cannot wait until you think things are going to calm down or things, whatever it is that you think is going to like relax or whatever, whatever, to like move forward, to create your art, to work on whatever you want to work on, to say no to people, to drop things, to make whatever decisions. Like, you can't wait for the end to feel like, okay, now I'm going to start living, because you don't know when that is going to be. I wanted to talk about that a little bit more and some of the other lessons. And recording this podcast episode during this season is definitely one piece of evidence of that lesson of we're going to live and work through it.
Hello, hello. You are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. So the truth is, I get messages all the time from people who are like, whoa, 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 this is too good. I definitely want to do more. How can I work with you? Like, where is the front door? And so if that's you and you're a woman of color faculty in academic medicine or public health, just keep listening. The question is, are you building the academic career you want or hard at work checking boxes on everyone else's to-do list? A successful career doing the work that you love doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your values, your family, or your joy. Stop trying to be everything to everybody and get to learning the strategies that will 3X your productivity, hone your passions into grant-funded projects, and create the career you worked so hard to achieve. If you have been to every career development or professional development workshop that sounded great, but didn't actually deal with the kind of institutional pressures you face. If you are working hard, but somehow stuck in inefficiency, putting everyone else's priorities first. If you spent years training and sacrificing to become academic faculty, and here you are, still working when you don't want to be on the projects you care most about, I'm here to tell you that you can walk away from this institutional mindset forever and take control of your career with clarity and strategy. Every day, I help women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health, like you, reframe and recreate their academic life so that they can channel their ideas, passions, and skills into grant-funded work with institutional support. And that is why this episode is brought to you by Get That Grant, our 6-month comprehensive high-performance coaching program for high-achieving women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health who are ready to reclaim career control and secure grant funding doing the work they love. In Get That Grant, we help you kick imposter syndrome to the curb for good so you lead your career with clarity and confidence. We help you learn productivity and strategy skills for grants and papers to maximize your chances of success without wasting your time, abandoning your passion, or working yourself into the ground. We help you build the foundation for an amazing and fulfilling academic career, changing your life and the lives of everyone your work will touch. Yes, this future is possible for you, and it's waiting on you to take the first step. If you are ready for career success without sacrifice, without suffering, then I encourage you to join our waitlist at kemidole.com/grant. After you join the waitlist, you will be notified when the next Get That Grant cohort will be enrolling. Your application process will include an in-depth career foundations assessment, helping you identify the gaps in your foundation that are holding you back from enjoying the career you worked so hard to achieve. No more secret worrying that the career you really want isn't really possible. This career assessment will show you exactly where you need to focus to level up your experience and your impact. Join the waitlist today to get in line. Visit kemidole.com/grant to sign up. See you soon. Hello, hello, folks. Welcome back to the show. I am coming to you surfacing from 6 to 7 weeks of a tough opening of the year. Just a tough start. I'm curious how it's going out there. I don't know if like my experience has just been mine or like I'm part of like the vibe of 2024 that is like collectively socking us in the face. But either way, I'll just say this at the top, like please come and find me on the socials at Kemi Doll, K-E-M-I-D-O-L-L on all platforms. And just like, let me know whether you're like, oh no girl, I'm happy to report that 2024 is doing amazing and like really coming through for me. Or if you're like, me too. I just want to let you know you're not alone. In either way, like just slide through my mentions, slide through my DMs and let me know. Anyway, that struggle is actually what prompted the podcast episode today. It's really interesting because the rough opening to 2024 was not a surprise for me. And what I mean by that is because I'd known multiple months before that I was going to be submitting a big grant and it was going to be due essentially the last week of January, the first week of February. I knew that January was going to be tight, like January was going to be full of things. And the way that I think about putting grants together and all of that is I have a lot of space on my calendar to, you know, be able to write and create and do all those things. So what I recognize, which I think I mentioned actually in a prior episode, is like, if I'm going to be working on a grant, which is like a big endeavor that doesn't just involve me, it involves other people as well, that space is going to be taken up by that grant submission purposefully, like on purpose. So it doesn't mean that my life is full of chaos and, you know, just absolute insanity. And I'm like not sleeping and working all the time. But it does mean that I'm moving from a default where there's more white space and, you know, just kind of like more downtime during the day to a temporary schedule where things are a lot tighter because there's just like a whole nother piece of work to get done. So I say all that just to say that I knew that January was going to be tight for that reason, and I kind of planned it that way. But simultaneously, and even in a more longer term fashion, I had made a lot of drastic changes heading into 2024, really upending my schedule for the whole year in order to have like a really different kind of experience in terms of being able to spend a lot more time in my creativity and spend a lot more time writing. So that was like such a long preamble to tell y'all that with all that preparation and all that kind of mental, like, okay, this is going to be tight, et cetera, et cetera, I still was not even close to ready for what the first 6 to 7 weeks of this year put me through. And so my episode today, it's inspired by one, some of the lessons that came up, resurfaced that I relearned during this time, and just some thoughts about kind of moving forward into the year that I hope ends up being helpful for all of us. So with all that preamble that I just said, the other thing that happened in January was that I got very good news. I'm just going to leave it there for now. I got very good news. And what's crazy is I got the message like in the midst of what, again, I already knew would be like a very full, very tight month. And I should mention that in addition to the grant submission, the other reason why I knew January would be really full is because of everything else going on, especially in my role as a CEO and coach at Katie Coach. So I had, you know, kickoff calls for like 3 different coaching programs that we have kicking off in January with new cohorts. I took a cross-country trip for an invited talk. Shout out to the Society of Women in Urology. I had a great time. It was an absolutely excellent group of folks. Lovely time. We had already scheduled an in-person company team retreat that was happening like basically the very first week of February. So basically the end of January. That was also super amazing, but essentially running that retreat and kind of like in-service learning day. And then I also
developed and gave a new like school-wide professional development workshop for second year faculty at my institution that just came out of my desire, creativity, like, hey, I think this could be super helpful for kind of newer people, newer on the faculty journey to help them get themselves together. So like all of this is happening in the grant submission and everything that I just said, like these are just the things that were calendared. These are just the things that like were literally on the calendar. And y'all know how life works. Like, in addition to all of that, there were all types of small and large upheavals that erupted in January and just kept coming through February. This like deeply unwanted party guest. Like, you have somebody in your house, they keep running into things, bumping into people, breaking things. Like, that's how life felt in January and then even moving into February. It's like, when is this upheaval energy? When is this trickster energy going to get out of my life? Because it was already going to be tight. And this is just taking it over the edge. So regardless, though, during this time, I also got like this amazingly good news. And so, gosh, I just ended up thinking a lot about that. And so part of the reason why I'm recording this, one is just because I'm actually practicing what I preach. And one of my main points of this episode is going to be like, you cannot wait until you think things are going to calm down or things, whatever it is that you think is going to like relax or whatever, whatever, to like move forward, to create your art, to work on whatever you want to work on, to say no to people, to drop things, to make whatever decisions. Like, you can't wait for the end to feel like, okay, now I'm going to start living, because you don't know when that is going to be. And so that is part of this podcast episode recording. Like, I might be recording this for you all from like the end of this like season that I just described to you, or I might be just in like a brief respite, just like catching my breath. I am unsure. I don't know. But what I do know is that I will not, and I cannot wait for everything, quote, to calm down before claiming the joy and the rest and the creativity that I intentionally built into this year, that I made a lot of moves in the structure of my schedule and things in the company in order to have this year. I'm not going to keep trying to like put that off. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit more and some of the other lessons. And recording this podcast episode during this season is definitely one piece of evidence of that lesson of we're going to live and work through it. So I can just acknowledge, first of all, straight out the bat, I definitely made a mistake. My mistake was thinking that my grand plan for 2024 and this new creative experience that I was cultivating for myself would start in February. And I just like wrote January off, right? And what's so funny is that like, I know better than this. In this particular instance, I did not in fact do better, but I do know better, right? So I really had to relearn the hard way, you know, that concept that y'all have heard me talk about, that quote, when then, right? When I do this, then this will finally happen, is always a lie. But it's especially a lie when it comes to scheduling work and building an integrated life. This can sound a lot of ways. When I get this paper in, then I'll have enough time to start like just doing like academic reading about this new topic or delving into this area. When I get promoted, then I'll have freedom to say no more than I do now. I got to like hold back for now until I get promoted. When this grant goes in, then I can relax and restore balance again. That last one was me. Lies, lies, lies. So I want y'all to know that occasionally like I slip up too. I fall for the okie doke. Like, it happens to me. And all I can say about these first 6 to 7 weeks of the year is that I'm appreciative that God, the universe, whatever you want to call this higher power, made sure that I recognize my missteps quickly, like quickly, because the way that things just kept coming at me, it was like by the third or fourth event, like kind of upheaval event that happened, I was like, okay, I am listening. Like, I will course correct, like message received. So here are some of the things that I was reminded of that I hope may help you in this season if you're going through something similar, or even like for the rest of this year, because y'all, I know some of you have already, you've already picked up on this, you've already seen the memes and the think pieces, but I just want to remind y'all that it's another leap year, y'all. And the last few leap years have seriously kicked our collective asses. Okay, 2016, 2020, and here we are in 2024, like, shout out and send up a prayer for the leap year. All right. So four lessons that I kind of pulled out. I think there are a lot more coming, but here's the first. Number one is that the wins and the challenges come at the same time. The wins and the challenges come at the same time. I just spent most of this episode so far, most of this dialogue, trying to like paint a somewhat vague to protect interested parties picture of like the stretch and strain I have been feeling up until this point from all these things going on. But at the same time, during this same period, there have been wins coming through. And, you know, yes, one really big one, but also small ones, like they're happening at the same time. But the thing is, if we are waiting, if you're waiting until after the challenge is over to celebrate, you will always find a reason to keep waiting, because there will always be a challenge around the corner. Once you position yourself, once you, whether consciously or unconsciously, have yourself positioned thinking, I will wait until this particular, until the challenges calm down, until it's not as hard, and then I will like regroup. What you're doing, this is why I believe this is true. I know it's true because I experience it. I see it all the time. But I'm saying this is also like why I believe it's true, maybe from a more mechanistic standpoint, is that when you do that, what you're cueing your brain, you are cueing yourself to be scanning for challenges, because you're looking for the sign that you can relax. You're looking for the sign that you can celebrate, right? You're looking for this sign that like, okay, now I'm on the other side, which means that you are constantly scanning for challenges. And not only that, you're scanning for the absence of challenge. So every day or every week or every month, there is some part of you that is either very consciously or unconsciously, for a lot of us, scanning the scene, the field, right? The platform of your life, and especially of your work life, and being like, is there a challenge anywhere? Is there a problem anywhere? And that answer, yes or no, is determining, okay, now I can relax, now I'm through. But y'all, it's always gonna be yes. The answer is always gonna be yes. If you're doing work that matters, if you're advancing something that's meaningful, if you're on my tip, if you're with me and you are building very intentionally, if you are very purpose-aligned, very purpose-driven, if you take a lot of care to think about how your efforts weave together and all that stuff, and you are really doing important, real work, there is not going to be a time where you will scan the horizon and be like, ding, 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 all clear. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for two reasons. One, if you're doing meaningful work, you are probably in some way, shape, or form dismantling something that needs to go. Okay. So whether it's a system, whether it's a certain kind of thinking, whether it's a certain kind of practice pattern, whether it's a certain idea in science that you're like, I don't think this is right, whatever it is, like you are doing something innovative. By nature of being innovative, you are probably breaking some other preconceived notion down. And anytime you do that, there's resistance. There's resistance in getting something done because nobody's ever done it that way before. There's resistance in the thought and the idea of it because you might be threatening somebody else's safety about how they're thinking about things. But the bottom line is, it takes energy to dismantle because the other thing already exists, and therefore there is resistance. So you're gonna have challenge just by the nature of what you set out to do. The second reason why it's always gonna ding, 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 yes, is because if you're actually doing your job, right, if you're actually taking on the full mantle and the responsibility of your dreams, like I have another episode, we'll drop the link in the show notes. But if you are taking responsibility for your dreams, if you are not kind of like in a backseat position, like I hope it works, I don't really know, but you're like, no, like I'm leading this, this is going to happen. You already know that part of your job is actually to scan and to see like, okay, let me identify issues before they become impossible mountains to fix. Like that's what you are doing anyway. So for both of those reasons, when you scan, it's gonna be a ding, 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 yes. And if you don't recognize that you have part of yourself that is moving in this when then scenario, right? That like when the challenges relax, like when things are resolved, when whatever, then I can relax, then I can celebrate, then whatever, whatever. If that part is active, then you are definitely scanning every day because you're waiting to relax, right? So for all of these reasons, I hope you can see how, even in like a this like very logical step-by-step way, there's gonna be challenges, not because like the world sucks and it's terrible. It's just the nature of creating things. There are gonna be challenges. And so I'm saying all this because I want us all to detox and remove and reframe and get rid of that habitual, that habit thinking that is super helpful for certain periods of time, especially when you have no power, i.e. training, and you are like making your way through like a slog of something that has a finite end, like residency or like your PhD program, like something where you can really know, okay, yeah, I'm done with this. But it's no longer helpful once you're out of those kinds of environments. So that's my lesson number one. The wins and the challenges come at the same time. If you're constantly waiting for the challenge, there will always be one, which means you never are actually celebrating the wins. And what you will feel, which is what I felt, this is like very honest, what you will feel is that like wins, both small and large, will come, and you will find yourself almost unable to even access celebration. It will be difficult to even try to conjure up the feeling because you have already decided that there's a switch that needs to go off before you're allowed to go there, before you're allowed to like really get in there. So you might even say the words, yay, okay, great. But you can feel inside like you don't feel anything. You don't feel anything because you set up this win then. And it's a terrible rule to have in your like brain circuitry because it is never going to switch off. There's always going to be a challenge. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two. Can I just be honest? I hate this one. But boy, did I learn it more than one way. Stress. So you put a system under stress. You put yourself under stress, whatever the issue is. It uncovers truths that you've been avoiding. It often then makes them unavoidable because you have to deal with them. Like whatever the stressful situation is, whatever is happening, like you can no longer be working around this problem that you've been avoiding. But the part that makes this so frustrating is that this happens. This like, girl, you are not moving around this problem. You cannot. I am right here. I am in front of you. You will have to confront me right now. Is that that happens while you are simultaneously your least equipped to deal with it. Because you're tired. Because you're stressed, right? It is like such a frustrating alchemy. Because you can recognize like, okay, I can't move around this anymore. Like, I do think that when you stress a system, like you really will see like all of the vulnerabilities, right? All of the issues. I'm speaking very vaguely. You can think about this in very specific ways with relationships. You can think about this with teams. You can think about this with the process of how you do work. But it makes them unavoidable because you usually have to get something done. You got to move through in some way. But then, you know, you're exhausted and tired because of whatever the situation is. And so it's frustrating and you can do it like you're capable, but it's like what I was thinking about with this lesson coming up in my life was like, Kemi, this is why like you know better than to avoid the truth. Don't avoid the truth. No matter how scary the truth might seem, no matter how intimidating the truth might seem, like I know that over here is a problem, but I just don't want to deal with it or whatever. Like no matter how it feels like if I face this, I feel like everything is going to unravel or whatever. No matter what it is a lot better to deal with when you are not stressed, when your system, yourself is not stretched to the brink and then you have to deal with it. That is way worse than any time before where you just want to avoid it, but you could actually face the problem and deal with it. And this absolutely does link up with number one, because if you're scanning the horizon, you already know. You can't now pretend, this is why these are in that order, you can't pretend that you didn't know. You can't be like, I had no idea. Because girl, you scanning the horizon, right? But what we can do is we can be like, oh, I know that's a problem, but, and then start to minimize and start to work around or whatever and just like not deal with what is right in front of us. Don't avoid the truth. The truth will find you. You can hide. You can cover it up. You can dress up real nice. You can put makeup on. It's going to find you. And the worst part is it will rear its ugly face when you feel least equipped to deal with it. So deal with it earlier, right? When we see it. How do we do that? How do we stop avoiding the truth? Like, I actually think the reason why we avoid it is because in the moment, what we think is, I don't have the capacity or the time to deal with this, which is ironic. Because when it actually hits us in the face, we have even less time and capacity. And yet, what do? We deal with it because we have to. So it's like that feeling is really not about like, I can't deal with this. I don't have time or capacity. It's actually about how fearful I am of the consequences of facing whatever the challenge, whatever this truth is. And that's why I think it is so valuable to be in like meaningful, high quality, curated communities where you can bring problems and really do like solution focused discussion and coaching around them, even when you don't know what to do or you're not sure, or it feels like if I face this, everything falls apart, because you're gonna have to do it anyway. So you might as well do it while you're resourced than when you're not resourced. So that's number two. Stress uncovers truths that you've been avoiding. It makes them unavoidable while you are simultaneously least equipped to deal with them. So don't avoid the truth. And so that leads me to my number three, which is that it is very true. I have experienced this many times in my own life, in personal and professional settings. To me, it's like a deep, like almost spiritual truth. Like the only way out is through. The only way out is through. But the through can be really rough. Like, the through can be really rough. I get why we want to sidestep over here, avoid over here, why we see the path that we need to walk to go through and we turn around and we're just like, nope, 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 like fingers in the ears, covering your face, like, please don't. Like, let me just close my eyes, jump up and down, sing a song and count to 10 and let it be gone. And it's like, no, you're going to have to just turn around and walk through this through. The only way out is through, but the through can be rough, which is why we all need reliable, authentic, supportive people around us. You can be as hyper independent as you want. You can be as high achieving as you want. You can be very clear and accurate and know what a badass you know what you are. But the bottom line is we all need a through crew, okay? Because you're going to have to walk through periods of time that will stress and strain you. And if you have not deposited, if you have not invested in authentic, real relationships where you tell the truth and there is not frenemy energy, there is not competition, there is mutual celebration and mutual problem solving, there is telling the truth. If you have not done that, what you have are relationships that only exist when you're doing fine. But as soon as you go through it, as soon as you are going through it, those relationships cannot actually support you. Those relationships, they might as well not exist because they can't support you because there isn't an already underlying, authentic, real connection and relationship of somebody who knows your strengths, who knows your vulnerabilities, and knows how to champion you through tough times. I am so grateful for my through crew. There are not that many folks, but let me tell you, the way that they make up in quality for quantity is enormous. And I know how easy it can be to be a high-achieving woman of color in a hostile environment. I'll just leave it at that. In a space, in a system that's not designed for you. I understand how the same qualities that can make you so good and so successful at making it through those kind of environments can be the exact same qualities that can prevent you from creating meaningful, real, reliable, honest, supportive relationships with people who can actually see you through the through. So that's lesson number three. Who is your through crew? Don't wait until it's all falling apart. Invest in those relationships now. All right. Point number four is very important because I've been talking a lot about the struggle and the challenge and all of that stuff. But here is also what is true. And I think we got to hold both, y'all. We got to hold both of these things. We have to hold the roughness, the throughness, the challenge, the problems, and you got to recognize that you can and you will create brilliance, brilliance in the least plausible circumstances. When you are keyed into your purpose and you have cut the noise out of your work life and other elements of your life. But let's focus on career. I'm going to say it again. You can and you will create brilliance in the least plausible circumstances when you are keyed into your purpose and you have cut the noise out of your work life. When shit hits the fan, all of those decisions that you have made, all those times I have encouraged you all so much, make high quality decisions, make decisions aligned with your purpose, make decisions that make sense for the career you're trying to build. All of those purpose aligned, clear-eyed, tough decisions, all of those times you've had to disappoint people to stay true to what you're trying to do, to stay true to your work, and to stay true to what works for you in your life. All of those small decisions over weeks and months and years, they accumulate. They accumulate to leave you staring at whatever challenge that you are facing. It leaves you staring at a challenge that you are 100% capable of surmounting, because that challenge is on your journey to create the career you desire. That challenge is born out of your astute direction that you have led your decisions with, so that no matter how rough it looks, what you can know is that this challenge is for me. I'm not trying to scale something I have no business worried about or doing. This challenge is what is between me and moving forward in the career and the life I am trying to create. So let's fucking go. Every single time. That's the work we do when we're not in challenge season. That's the work we do when we're not going through. We deposit those decisions in one by one by one. So when I have like a video game analogy in my mind, you know, it's like when the big bad shows up to slay, you're like, yes, come on. Come on. Because all the experience that I've gained to this point, all the decisions I've made, all this path means that you, this challenge in front of me, this is what is between me and continuing to move forward. And that's what makes you capable. When you clear on that, along with community, along with some of the mental reframes I've discussed, right? Along with making sure that we're not waiting to celebrate, along with making sure we're not avoiding problems because we're waiting to celebrate, you will always be capable of making it through. And though it deeply annoys me, it really does, I have yet to experience that the other side is worse. Or even, it's always better. It's always better. And so y'all, whether I am speaking to you now from the middle, or if I have indeed summited to the other side, that's where the optimism that you hear in my voice comes from. So how is 2024 going for y'all? Come hit me up somewhere. Let me know. I love y'all and I mean it. Take care. Bye.
Hey there. To be honest, this is uncomfortable for me, but here's the thing. I am getting used to leaning into discomfort. So here is my request for you. I am unapologetically asking you for something. If you listen to this podcast episode and it resonated for you and it was helpful for you, can you double check and see if you follow our podcast on your platform? Make sure that you follow us or subscribe so that you never miss an episode and you don't have to worry about hearing from somebody else that an episode was good, because it will just automatically download to your device. Here's another thing that would be amazing. If you haven't yet, I would really appreciate if you go on your podcast platform to rate our podcast and to post a review if you love it. It does actually make a difference to people being able to find this podcast who similarly would appreciate the content. And basically, I would appreciate it a lot. So thanks for listening. I do this because I want us all to be in community with an elevated level of conversation. And I hope that you follow us, you like our episodes, and you consider leaving a rating and review if you haven't yet. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye.